standing as you're able in reverence for God's Word as we come to our Gospel lesson this morning. The Gospel lesson comes to us from the Gospel according to John, the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 19. Let us hear now the Word of the Lord. John 21, 1 through 19. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to His disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dare ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." You may be seated. And let us pray. Oh God, we pray that you would come over us. No God, we pray that you would overcome us. Amen. I love the sound of children in worship. There's not a better sound than that to me in the world. We come today, and for us to understand the passage that is before us, we will need to necessarily go back into the Gospel of John. Our passage before us has two distinct sections. The first one shows us that the disciples had gone back largely to their daily lives.
They've gone back to what they did before they were called by Jesus to come and to follow him. They were back at the Sea of Tiberias, also known as the Sea of Galilee, and they were back to their fishing ways. Simon Peter was ready to get out in the boat, perhaps busying himself in the midst of not knowing what was next. And it was clear that night that they went fishing, but that they had not gone catching. I don't know, someone chuckled at that. I don't know how you are, but I'm not a very good fisherman, but I fish, I just don't catch. But they had not caught. And so it was that Jesus came to them, and as he stood on the seashore, he yelled to them to throw the net down on the other side of the boat. And when they did, they found there so many fish that they were amazed that the net was not torn. As they get to the shore and they count, they find that they have 153 fish, and not 153 of any fish, but 153 large fish. That Jesus has blessed them with a catch, with a miraculous catch, a large and a generous catch. And Jesus invites them to have breakfast with him. So they take some of the fish that Jesus had been cooking on the charcoal fire there, along with some bread and some of the fish that they just caught. And they eat together. Oftentimes, this is the way that Jesus operates. He comes to us in the midst of us doing what we always do. But when we pay attention to the impact and to the desires of God in our lives, then even when we go about the daily doings, we find that he is with us, that we are not alone. I hope you recall that today is, and I think the bulletin says it, maybe it doesn't today, but today is the third Sunday of Easter. We'll recall, and you guys know this, especially during Christmas, that, you know, the world celebrates Christmas for a day, but as Christians, we celebrate Christmas for 12 days. Christmas is not just a day, but it is a season as well. Easter is not just a day, but it is a season as well. And at the end of Easter, or Eastertide, we will have Pentecost Sunday. And then after that, we will enter into what is the longest season in the Christian year. Anybody remember what the name of that is? Ordinary Time. I love that. Because most of our lives are lived in ordinary time, doing ordinary things. And yet it is in the midst of what we do that God calls us to be who he calls us to be. To live quiet, unassuming lives that make a difference. I graduated from Garrett down at Northwestern in Evanston. And the chapel there is named this. It's called the Chapel of the Unnamed Faithful. Well, we know the famous ones. But most of us, we came to faith by people that the world and history will forget. Quiet grandmothers and grandfathers and parents who simply lived ordinary lives. Now for the second portion of our text today, as Jesus reinstates Peter, we've got to go back into John, as I said earlier. We'll look at John chapter 13, starting in verse 31 first. When he was gone, speaking of Judas Iscariot, going to do what he was going to do to betray Jesus, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." I don't know about you. I don't know if you're supposed to have favorites among the disciples, but Simon Peter is a favorite of mine. Because he always seems to open his mouth before he's exactly got a thought formed. You know, he did it when Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples, and he doesn't want any part of it because he doesn't want Jesus to be his servant. But when Jesus says, "I need to do this," he says, "Well, why don't you just wash all of me?" He misses the point. And it's here that Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And then in John 18, we have those denials. Jesus has been arrested. He's been taken to Annas' house, the high priest. And in John 18:15, we read these words, "Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the girl on duty there, and brought Peter in." "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" the girl at the door asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter was also standing with them, warming himself. And on to verse 25, as Simon Peter stood warming himself, he was asked, "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?" Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, the rooster began to crow. So it is that we find a tempestuous, an impulsive Simon Peter. One who vows to follow Jesus even to the death. Something we know that eventually he will do. But only after the resurrection of Jesus, and only after he receives the power of the Holy Spirit. But as they are Or as they have finished eating, Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." We see the restoration of Peter. After his denial of Jesus three times, he once again attests to his love for Jesus. And because he loves Jesus, Jesus has a task for him to do. He is to care for those around him. He is to feed the lambs, to take care of the sheep, to feed the sheep. And so it is for the rest of his life that Peter will be engaged in ministry, sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He will indeed follow him. He will indeed follow him even to death. But you and I, we hear this word this morning. There are times in our lives that perhaps we have denied Christ, or we have not lived up to who God has called us to be. And oftentimes I think the world thinks that the Bible is filled with perfect people, or we might even believe that wrongly. We don't have time to talk about everybody, but you know David, a man after God's own heart? He had a few issues. Moses? Noah? Do you remember what Noah did when he immediately got off the ark? I mean, that took some planning. But here we see the love that God has for Peter, and the love that God has for us. Even in the midst of our doubts, even in the midst of our denials, we can be restored. And we are restored to be reminded of the ways in which we love Christ. And that as we love Christ, we care for the world. That we follow him. Not only do we follow, but we are to reach out to the world. That we follow not just for our own sake, but for the sake of the world. We come, and no matter what we do in the midst of our ordinary lives, God calls us to be ministers. Whether we're doctors or lawyers or teachers or stay-at-home moms, wherever it is that we find ourselves going on a daily basis, we are called as those who love Christ to bear witness to the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen.